Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 everyone, to Breaking News Journal on Air Radio. We have a special guest on with us. I've been trying to get Gina Miller, the famous radio and television personality on Breaking News Journal for the longest, but she is with us today, and she's absolutely gorgeous. People, you're going to love her. We're going to be talking about radio, how she got into it, you know, what's going on with her now, and you know, information that you have that you might want to, if you want to ask her a question, you can chat in the chat room. If you want to call in, you can call in the 949-209-2957, people. Gina Miller, it is a pleasure having you on Breaking News Journal on Air Radio today.
Ms. Ruth, thank you so much for having me. I'm honored.
You do so much. You've done so much, and I know you very seldom talk about yourself. You're absolutely gorgeous, but you very seldom talk about yourself or what you're doing, and most people don't hear anything about you or know what you do, but you are very powerful. So I wanted everyone to talk, you know, to hear what, you know, your business and what you're doing, because, you know, as we're working and as we get ready to launch our TV channel, I want you working with us.
Well, wow, that's really an honor. I appreciate it, and you're too kind, Ruth. What I do is basically just spout my opinions on an internet column, which lots of people can do. Anybody can do that. But as far as radio, now what I have done throughout, beginning in the early mid '90s, I was just a commercial radio disc jockey, and for many, many years on various music formats. But lately, all I do now is work doing radio commercial production, and occasionally we have a local television companies here, cable TV and local television stations, and I will voice commercials for them. So that's really all I do today is work in radio commercial production.
Well, you know, actually, that's very interesting in itself, since most of us do production, and are doing stuff on the heart for the heartland of America instead of on these old media sources. How does it actually work? I mean, for instance, if someone said that they wanted do you do like voiceover or anything like that for someone that might come in and say that they need a commercial done and they want someone else to come up with the script and things like that? Is that how it works?
Yes, I do. I do pretty much all of the above when it comes to radio commercial production. I write copy. I do voice work. I actually produce spots. I do it all. So from, you know, whether the client wants the copy written or it's already written, whatever the circumstance, I get it done. And I do voice work for stations all across the country through my company, and I have some deals on the side as well that I work for independently. But, yeah, I do it all, Ruth, and there's always a need for good voices out there.
Wow. You're kidding. I thought it was pretty much a tight-knit business where everybody pretty much knew everybody in the business and, you know, pretty much didn't have to really scrape to find the talent that they need or the voice that they want for what they are asking for or seeking in a commercial or something.
Well, I guess maybe it depends. You might say it can be a tough business to break into. And especially with the economy the way it is nowadays, it might be a little harder now than, say, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. But another thing is with the giant radio conglomerates, they have, you know, sort of been downsizing and streamlining their operations, and that's why I do voice work for stations all across the country, because the large company I work for, Clear Channel, has a system where we share voices across markets, so that in any given market, you're not limited to the same, you know, 10 voices. You can get voices from out of the market to make your sound more, you know, mixed up, not so
or more
know, the same old
unique for the for the geographical location type of thing.
Well, that, but just to add variety, because in the old days, you know, in the old days we were more limited. Unless you knew contacts out of market, you were pretty much limited to the people that worked in-house with you. So you would have, say, you know, two men and three women or vice versa, and you would have the same five or six voices on all your radio production that was within the market. That's excluding national ads, but but within the market, you only had so many voices. But now with the way we do it now, you can get voices from all over the place. If you, you know, can get someone to voice copy for you, so you have a larger variety in your commercial production sound. It just sounds a lot better with more voices.
Ah, I see. So that means that when we launch our TV channel and we're going to be promoting it and stuff like that, that we contact Gina Miller and we say, Gina, we want you to be the voice or the promotion for it. How would that go? Because I know you've worked in television too. So what do? They call you up and they say, we want you to, you know, we want you to be the, well, since this is television, do you still do the voice on television as well?
I do occasional voice work for television, and how that works, in fact, where my radio station is, where I work, just right across the street and down a few hundred yards is the cable local cable television network, and they occasionally call me up and say, hey, you want to come over and voice a spot? So they already have the copy written, and all I do is go in there into their little studio and just knock out the voice, and they produce it. That's the extent of my television work, is just doing voiceover work
You try to act like it's just a little bit of stuff, but that's major. That's major stuff, because we do pay attention to who we're listening to, and that can sell a product.
Oh, yes, ma'am, and I try in my goal for, you've heard so many voices on the radio, television, that are just irritating, you know, and there's nothing worse than an irritating voice. My goal is to not be irritating when I talk. But what you said earlier about me helping out with your endeavor in the Red Slipper Project, I would be thrilled to lend my voice to the cause. You just call me anytime.
You don't get paid for it like you get paid anywhere else. You know, you might even get paid more.
what we're
doing. But I mean, yeah, because on the things that we're doing for launching the TV channel, we don't want just a little bit of content. You know, because we're going to be dealing with every genre there is out there. And so, you know, we want to do things on a grassroots, the heartland level, because we're planning on being the biggest news mega source out there for TV, radio, print, you know, everything, because, you know, we're not getting what we really need, and that's why there's so many bloggers out there. But there's so many bloggers that are out there talking about the same thing. I mean, we've got thousands of bloggers, and they're all fighting about the same subject. So it totally drowns out. People don't want to hear it. You know what I'm saying? So this is why we're going to have a unique market in working with that. And I think next year they're expecting that market to be open, that cable market to be like a $2.3 trillion open market next year.
Wow. Well, but you know, now you've got Al Jazeera to compete with.
Well, you know what? And that's okay with me, because we'll take their audience too, especially if there are parents who are concerned about what their children are receiving, and the fact that, you know, I think it was Al Gore who sold his current TV, and then I guess he bought a part of Al Jazeera. I'm not for sure how that works. I can't remember. But something like that happened. So, you know, you got that nonsense going out there. We want the real deal. We don't want any terrorists and stuff like that being in control of any media over here glossing it around as if it's good news.
Right. Well, we're going to be competing with a world of lies. That's part of the problem with networks like Al Jazeera and the mainstream alphabet soup media that are really basically – just shills for the Obama administration and whatever the
More
Democrats.
Than that, George Soros. George Soros.
And yeah, and then you've got the puppet masters like him.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're laughing, but man, it's deadly serious, and we know it. You know.
Yes. Yes,
and
we do.
We have to be able to reach people, and that's our greatest challenge, because there are so many people out there that will not deviate from the mainstream feed that they get, the tribe that is fed to them through the network news outlets and the Yahoo News and the Associated Press. All of these outlets, the propaganda arm of the administration, and it'll be very, very difficult. Our greatest challenge is to overcome that and somehow reach these people that do not listen to us, because we're preaching to the choir, to each other with the conservative blogosphere. You know, we're just preaching that. I feel like a broken record, Ruthie. I mean,
you're what? Absolutely right. And that's why God gave me the different genres. When you're talking about bringing people who can do cooking shows, people that can do teen programs, people that can do children's programming, people that can do investigative reporting like Dr. Lori, people that can, even if you did a show that had to do with how do you do voiceover, you know, training 101, or what, you know, whatever it takes to get those people out of that. And one of the things we do know is that they like entertainment, and if they have news and if they see a lot of good stuff coming on from a channel, then they will stick with it even through when the news programs are being announced or being programmed out or being scheduled to show. And so I think that is going to be a major thing. That's what God is showing me, is that we have to have something totally different than an Al Jazeera that's only talking about propaganda, or even CNN or whatever. You know, we have to have entertainment news, but grassroots entertainment. We have to have feature films, but Heartland of America feature films. We have to do things that are totally different than what these guys are doing. Then we have to bring TV and feature films back to the way it should have been a long time ago, and the way it was a long time ago. So it clean and stuff like that. And that's where we're headed. So I think it's going to be a whole lot more fun. It's going to be a whole lot more entertaining, and yet it's going to be very serious when it gets down to real people who know, who've done their investigative reporting, and they can give the people the information that they want. What do you think about that?
I think that's a recipe for success on a huge level. You know, you see, I've never watched. I don't actually, believe it or not, I don't own a television, but I have read about
no
the
way.
Huge success. No, I don't.
Believe you. I don't believe you, Gina.
How can I be out here writing all this stuff and be so out of touch with no television?
I don't believe you're out of touch either, but I cannot. I mean, you really have covered yourself well, because nobody knows that you don't have a TV.
Well, I've mentioned it in columns in the past, but you know, I think increasingly people are turning off the boob tube because of the content is so trashy, and parents don't want their kids seeing this stuff. Ruth, they're increasingly going down the road of just pure debauchery, and the Duck Dynasty program I have never seen, but I've read about how it's hugely successful because this thing has, you know, a Christian foundation, and people are just starving, like you said, for quality entertainment that they don't mind their children watching. And there's a lack of quality programming, wholesome movies where they're good is good and evil is evil. And mm-hmm. and man, if you go down that road, you're talking huge success with your network.
Yeah, that's where we're headed. You know, I tell everybody, as even investors, potential investors, I tell them all the time. It's like, look, we are going to be the William Randolph Hearst, the Ted Turner, and the Rupert Murdoch of new media. That's where we're headed. You know,
well, I can't wait
together.
You know, that's
going to
be
a part of it.
I'm here. I'm ready. I'm ready,
so,
and whatever.
I was going to say, when I give you that call, you'll know. you will know, and you know, and a lot of times you'll be working from where you are or however you want to do it, or maybe, you know, coming with us on some of the sets or something like that across the country, because we have producers already with all their programming and all their producers, staff and stuff ready across the country. We're just waiting for the funding to be secured right now.
Yeah, and that's always going to be the biggest hurdle is money, because it takes
money.
Yeah,
well, we have our business person who actually took a trip to Kansas City to meet with some biggies with our proposal and stuff like that. So, you know, we're working on every area, every angle, because we know it can be kind of hard. But as we're going forth, you know, I've been going back and forth with Kirk Cameron's people. They want us to spread information about his movie that's coming out, Unstoppable, on the I think it's the 24th of September. But what happened to him, I don't know if you're aware of what happened to him, is that social media has totally shut him down where he can't even promote anything that he's doing. So guess what? Unstoppable, that movie, I think it's about his life, will only be shown one night at Liberty University in Virginia.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I had read about the Liberty University showing, but I didn't realize he was being, locked out like that.
That's what his publicist told me, you know, just a couple of weeks ago. And I said, well, we'll do everything we possibly can to tell people about the movie, and maybe it can open up in some other places. But this is why I was trying to reach Kirk Cameron for years, because I knew that there was a program that he did on with Piers Morgan, and Piers Morgan was talking to him about, you know, issues like homosexuality and so on and so forth. And Kirk, you know, being sweet as he is, gave his answer and stuff like that in a respectful way. After Kirk went off his program, he started demeaning him and belittling him. And, you know, he didn't have a way to respond because he wasn't there anymore. He had gone from the program. And I was like, at that point, I said, they're going to try to slam him with anything that he comes out with from now on. You know, and I was trying to reach his manager for 2 years almost, and his manager never contacted anybody back. I talked to other publicists. They said, we're trying to reach his people too, and he never responded. And then finally I got an email about 2 months ago from a guy who was doing his publicity. I guess Kurt must have realized that maybe even in his own camp he didn't have someone who was looking out for him.
That's just astonishing. That really is. But that is so common, Ruth. Nowadays, if you stand up for biblical principles, moral truth, God's law, God's natural law, you will be reviled by the prince of the powers of the air. And we know who he is.
Mm-hmm. We know who they are. We know just who they are.
Right.
And, you know, I've been fighting with them on, you know, we've been talking about this Common Core thing and the things that's happening to the children in the school system and trying to get them out of the school system and stuff. And you got people on Facebook calling names and stuff like that and calling me names and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know what? And they're like, you need to go straight to hell. And I'm like, you go first. You know, you have to know how to talk to, you have to know how to tell these people off, or else they will try to really, really demean you and try to shut you down. And it's like, I'm not going to be shut down. I have to answer to a higher power, and you are not it. Thank you very much.
Amen, amen. But you know, and that's so common, Ruth, with the left. They do not have any substantive arguments. They do not have the truth on their side. So all they have is ridicule and insults, personal attacks. You know, the first thing out of their mouth, you know, you say, well, you're talking about the Tea Party, for instance, and, oh, you teabaggers, oh, you idiots, toothless, mouth breather, knuckle dragger. You know, there's nothing to counter the arguments we have against the communist takeover of our federal government. They cannot argue against it, so they just try to demean, belittle, and berate those of us who speak the truth. That's all they have is insults.
Right, and you know what? On the right side, on the conservative side, you know, there's some problems there too, because you know Glenn Beck, I've been communicating with him for the last couple of years. Every once in a while, he'll respond to an email that I send him, and every time I send him something, like for instance, you know, remember I sent you the information about Larry passing away.
Did
you see that video about him, the contribute we did
in the baby shower?
Yeah, well, the baby shower was one thing, but then we did a tribute about Larry himself and stuff like that. And for you know, Glenn Beck has been showing Larry Grasswall's information about what he's the one who exposed the Weather Underground. We wouldn't know anything about it, and we probably would be in prison camps if it wasn't for Larry. Yet Glenn Beck never had that man on his show.
Never
showed his videos and everything, but wouldn't have him on his program. So I started wondering, does he have an ego problem? Well, I understand that about a couple of weeks ago there was a major event, I think in Utah or something like that, and he was a part of it, and there was some other minister that was there, and another minister was saying to all the people, wow, you guys are really out here to see Glenn, and they're like, we're not here to see Glenn Beck, we're here to see this minister. And that told me a whole lot. That told me that I wasn't crazy, for one thing, that a lot of people are starting to see that he's got an ego problem. He's not willing to work with the heartland people like you and myself to be able to make sure that we can turn this country around. They want the money. They want the power. They want the whatever they say to happen. And then they're not willing to work with the people who are working with it. And they steal people's ideas, too.
Well, yeah, the ideas now, depending on what kind of ideas you're talking about. Now, the truth, we don't have a corner on the truth, but we should work together. You know, I realize a lot of people may not like Glenn Beck for various reasons, but I heard on Mark Levin recently said that Glenn Beck sent a note to Mark Levin, reaching out to Mark Levin, wanting to work together. But and I don't know what that's going to do or where that's going to go. But you're right, though, as far as some on our side. And, of course, look at the establishment Republicans in Congress, the John McCain's, the Lindsey Graham's. These people, with Republicans like these, who needs Democrats, honestly.
Tell me about it. You know, I'm preparing a blacklist. We're preparing a Breaking News Journal blacklist of all the people, and you're going to be shocked of who's on that list. And the reason why they're on the list is because, you know, we're working on this Common Core thing, and everybody's into education now, talking about the education situation and stuff. But if they are accepting any kind of government money, any kind of government grants, vouchers, any kind of charter school money or anything like that, they are going to be held to the Common Core standards. And Gina, we just found out about some books that the kids are being forced to read and that are in the libraries that you would not believe.
Right.
You would
There's
not
some
believe
really
this is even happening.
Bad content.
Oh,
Common Core
homosexual content. I couldn't believe it. And they're trying to bring it down to third grade levels. Stuff that most of us adults don't even understand.
Yeah, this is, and the federal government has no place, no business, no authority to dictate our education across the nation. And as I wrote, you know, I have written before, that states that take federal money handouts are owned by the federal government.
That's exactly
That's how
right.
the federal government gets away with so much.
Absolutely, that's how they get away with it. And then you got his the education czar that is the person that's homosexual and all the homosexualizing that they're doing and stuff like that. And then you got like stuff like what happened in Chicago where they fired 1,000 teachers about a month and a half ago, and then they closed 49 schools. Well, what do you think they're getting ready to do? They're getting ready to put them in the charter schools where they're going to actually, can you believe, they're actually talking about workforce education, where they're telling kids that are slow, well, you have to come into this job, and your parents don't have control over what you learn because you belong to us now, pretty kind of thing. And you, Bill Gates, with all of the stuff that he's doing, you know, trying to eliminate people with vaccines over in Africa and stuff like that. I mean, he said these things out of his own mouth.
Wow.
I mean,
well,
this is serious stuff that's going on here. There's some real crazy stuff going on here, and we're trying to expose it. But what we're working on is a project called Operation Jericho, and we are working with pastors to try to have them open up their sanctuaries. to the kids in the central cities and everywhere else, because it doesn't matter how much money you have. If your kids are going to any of these schools, even some private schools and Catholic schools and stuff like that are taking government money, you're gonna be forced to accept this Common Core and UNESCO, United Nations nonsense.
Yeah,
and they're turning our kids against us.
Yes, they are, and they have been for many, many decades. It's
yes.
very diabolical. And we complain because, oh, the kids come out of school not able to read and write. This is by design, Ruth,
exactly.
Because kids that can read and write and discern and use, you know, critical thinking and even read cursive handwriting and write it and understand it, they are able to research and learn. But kids that can't, all they can do is text. But you've got a population of dumb drones, and that is the goal here, and we
that
know
is.
It. And Common
yeah.
Core is pure evil, and it must
is.
Be stopped.
It must be, and that's exactly where we're headed. We're headed for that. We're working to get to pastors all over the country. I'm praying that we can get kids out no later than by Christmas out of the whole public school system, and that will collapse the Department of Education.
Well, that would be a worthy goal. There's a lot of pastors that we're working
with some pastors that have about over, I think, 8,000 ministers across the country, plus anybody who knows any local ministers and stuff like that are willing to open up their church during the week. I mean, we're just working on all kinds of stuff, you know.
Wow, you're a busy woman.
I know, darn it. I wish I could just sleep more. I like to sleep.
We've been sleeping for too long, and that's the problem. I'm afraid we're just now waking up a little too late.
Ooh, girl. I mean, I only found out about this Common Core stuff maybe about 4 months ago, maybe five at the most, you know, because you remember my son got shot. And so when he got shot, and he's doing, you know, much better now, you know, and everything, and I thank you so much for all your support and stuff like that of him. I just wanted to let you know that. I meant to tell you so many times, but I'll never, ever forget that. After that is when I started hearing about this. And, of course, I was still dealing with him and, concerned about him and stuff. But when I started really getting into it and finding out what was going on, and it kept coming to me, people kept saying certain things, I was like, oh, my God, what the heck is going on here? And they're like, Ruthie, it gets worse. And I'm like, it can't get any worse than this, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
it just was worse.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Just like with Hitler, you know, and all the tyrants throughout history, you know,
mm-hmm.
you grab the kids,
mm-hmm.
and you've got the future. And that's what they're doing.
Future. Absolutely. But
yeah.
you know what? The thing that's even worse is you got people like Condoleezza Rice, Bill Bennett, people like that are signing on to this thing. You know, Mike Huckabee, he was the first one to start signing on to it, and we were like, what the heck is this? And, you know, it was formed by UNESCO. Congress can't even do anything about it because this is coming out of the UN. You know, and this is the reason why, you know, and Mike Huckabee hates the United Nations, yet he's for Common Core, the same company, the same people that introduced this stuff in the first place. You know, so that shows
yeah,
that he's
well,
confused
there's
about,
one, Huckabee.
About the issue. Pardon me?
I said, and there's another one, Mike Huckabee. With conservatives like that, you know, there you go again.
These people are enemies.
Right, but you can say that maybe they're deceived. Maybe they're just deceived and don't understand. But at the same time, you think, how can that be? You know, who is behind this? When you've got someone supporting something like Common Core, the support is either the result of deception or malice, because you can't,
mm-hmm.
you cannot, there's not an in-between there. When you're looking at a communist government takeover of the education system, you can't say that I support that without either being deceived by it or being in agreement with it. And Huckabee, forget about it. You know, it doesn't take much for me to dump someone and drop them like a hot potato.
Yeah,
same way with Marco Rubio. He's for amnesty. Take a hike, buddy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. You never know what they're standing for until after they get in office. They do a couple of good things and sound pretty good for a change, and then all of a sudden, you know, you start seeing their true colors. But, you know, you got John McCain who needs to be thrown out on his head, and so should Lindsey Graham. And then, of course, you know that Cindy McCain and her, their daughter, and what the crap that they've been doing by supporting Go Proud and all these other things by doing the commercials with those guys and stuff like that. Well, I know you probably came across that those commercials and stuff as you've been working. I wonder what you thought about it.
Well, I've written a lot of columns about the militant homosexual movement, and mm-hmm. there's plenty on our side who are buying it hook, line, and sinker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we cannot underestimate or, you know, exaggerate the seriousness of this, because we're not talking, you know, they're couching their movement in latching on to the civil rights thing, and that is a lie from the pit of hell.
Oh, we know.
That's a lie. You know, this marriage equality crap, that there's no such thing.
Right.
Everyone has an equal right to be married, you know, to a person of the opposite sex consenting adult who is not mm-hmm. a close relative. There is no such thing as homosexual marriage. There never will be. And what is happening is that these people are pushing this agenda through at the expense of the rights and the freedoms of the American people, the freedoms of conscience. You saw the ruling in New Mexico, the Christian photographer who was just slapped down and defeated in court with the homosexual women who wanted her to photograph their commitment ceremony.
Oh,
and
no, I didn't know anything. Oh, I have to look that up. Oh, my God, how disgusting.
Well, the judge just ruled that she does not have the religious freedom of conscience to refuse to photograph a homosexual commitment ceremony. So she lost in court her religious freedom to two lesbians who sued her because she said, she said, no, I'm a Christian, and I'm not going to offer my services to you. And so this mm-hmm. is what's happening. Christians are losing their rights every day mm-hmm. all across America because of the homosexual movement. And they're attacking our kids in school with indoctrination, California, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. I've been on top of this for years now, writing mm-hmm. column after column warning of the danger of this movement. Mm-hmm. And I cannot mm-hmm. overestimate or overexpress mm-hmm. how mm-hmm. sinister this is, Ruth.
It really is. And, you know, I'm getting this information now to the people who voted for him. That's what my target is. My target is the people who voted for our president, because everywhere, all of a sudden, he's got his minions and his thugs and out there doing his dirty work. Of course, this stuff, if you listen to Charlotte Isabey, I'm going to send you her video from what she said. But this started, she said, from the Reagan administration. I dare to say that this has gone back from the Reagan administration all the way back to Woodrow Wilson. Just one thing after the other. Just one kind of situation after the other. And now, you know, she got fired from the Reagan administration. She was in charge of the Department of Education. And Charlotte, she said what happened to her is that she found out what they were doing and what was going on, and the powers that be, whether Reagan knew or not, she was in meetings with him and everybody else, and they didn't want her getting this information out, so they fired her. But she took the information with her, so she's all over the place telling people what happened. But this is 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah, you're right. The march through our institutions is 100 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, the progressive movement began in the late 19th, early 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've been happy as clams for the most of the 20th century while our enemies have been on the march.
We thought that they were stupid. We thought that they were being silly and stuff like that. It's like, they can't do anything. Oh, nothing will ever happen to our country. I think we all are guilty of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've only been awakened in the past decade or so. And before that, you know, young, dumb, just moving right along. And that's the story of the American way, you know, in the past 30 years.
That's what we were told, and that's probably the reason why we were so asleep. We were never, you know, I mean, when you start looking at what John Adams and those guys said and what they really said, how we could lose our country, and stuff. We were not told all those things in school, that, yeah, we could lose our country again.
they stopped teaching it. And I heard Neil Bortz filled in for Sean Hannity on his radio show this past week, and I heard Neil talking about a plan by the progressives that goes back decades and decades, the early part of the 20th century, where the communists, I call them communists for want of a better term, but the centralized government powers of the left decided that, you know, with the Industrial Revolution, of course, they needed people that were more educated to be able to read and write and do basic math, but they didn't. They decided they did not want to over-educate people. They wanted to keep people only so smart, give them only so much education, because otherwise the people could find them out, see through them, you know, keep them in check. So we have got this. The education system is by design to keep people stupid. And no, they haven't taught us about how we could lose our freedoms because they were busy taking them away.
Taking them away.
We've got a lot of work.
Do you remember when they started with, and I know we only have a few minutes left, but do you remember when they started the Ebonics nonsense?
Yep.
Okay, so when they started that and nobody was trying to do anything about it, I was like, I cannot even believe that they're even doing something so silly like this and people are getting paid to talk about some nonsense that doesn't even exist. And that was dumbing. I think that's when I started realizing the dumbing down of the kids, because remember, the kids that were learning, that were educated, all of a sudden they were being ridiculed and they were being called names and stuff like that. They lived in the central cities of the country and they were doing well in school, then all the other kids were dumbing them down and telling them, you know, trying to make them be irrelevant, and so they started regressing.
Well, yeah, because it became if you're doing well and succeeding, oh, you're trying to act white, you know, and like intelligence equals being white. That's ridiculous. That's stupid. You know, what if Clarence Thomas or Ellis Washington or Dr. Sowell, or Walter E. Williams had thought that ignorant nonsense? You know, give me a break.
That's why we have no choice but to get those kids out of any government-funded charter schools or anything else. We've got to get them out. And the vouchers are not good either. And, you know, up until recently, I thought that would be a good suggestion. But we know that if there's not enough vouchers, then the kids are left out again. I don't want to see another kid crying because they want to get into a good school and they can't get into a school. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to ever see that again. And that's what that's what the goal is to totally change that and totally get our children out of that and transform our kids back to the way this country was supposed to be in the first place and get back to our founding documents and not let these people steal our country. You know, Gina, give us information on how anyone, if they want to hire you or something, so you can be this international personality.
how do you
want people to reach you? Give some general information, not something that you don't want anybody to have.
My columns are carried at a few websites, including at renewamerica.com, the Stephen Stone family's website that was started for Alan Keyes back when he first ran for president. My columns are carried there at Renew America and at AmericanClarion.com. And so you can just contact the website there if you want to get in touch with me through those websites.
Thank you so much. Gina, this has been a pleasure having you on Breaking News Journal on Air Radio. And, you know, you got to come back again. Now you got to come back all the time now.
I'd be glad to, Ruthie.
Okay, look, you have a blessed one. I'll talk to you
come
later.
Rain. Come shine, I meet you, and to me the world is fine. Then I kiss your lips, and the pounding becomes the ocean's roar. When you arouse the need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me. Proceed to tell you that you're marvelous, tell you that you're wonderful again, 'cause I've got you under my skin, and I love you under my skin.